Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening as I continue my series of interviews with different professionals from around the nation. Each broadcast is sponsored by the website www.landthink.com, a great resource that serves all your land needs. I encourage you to return to each broadcast so you can continue to grow your knowledge about land. This broadcast is the only place on the internet where you'll experience the very best insights about the depth and breadth of land. Hi, I'm Russell Ward, your host, and I'm a full-time land investor and author of Vacant Land Guide, How to Buy Vacant Land at Wholesale Prices. My turnkey program teaches you the secrets of owning your own land business where you don't have to use your own money. And my process is very, very easy to learn. So now if you have any questions or comments today, if you're listening live, there's a live chat feature that is on the website that you can actually email me. You can go onto the chat and send a question if you'd like. So that's on your computer screen. So we'd love to hear any questions that anybody might have. So today I've invited Mike Moser, and Mike is the East Region President of Starwood Land Ventures. Mike and I met a number of weeks ago. We had lunch together, and I'm always interested and intrigued by what people are doing in land today, and so I felt like that Mike's company, Starwood Land Ventures, has some interesting insights about land and also about their business model as well that I think the rest of the land community would like to hear about. So, Mike, thank you for spending some time with me today.
Great.
Okay. So, before we go into a little bit about Starwood, why don't you tell us about how you got your start in land development? Have you been doing this for a long time?
No problem. I actually started in Naples, Florida, after I got out of college in a small town in Texas. It started in Naples, Florida, at a project that went through bankruptcy. So kind of here about 15 years later, we're now going through a lot of the same thing. So I started as a general manager and CAM, community association manager, for a project in Naples, and it went through the bankruptcy court. A company by the name of Taylor Woodrow, publicly traded, UK-based public home builder, bought the project out of bankruptcy about 15 years ago. I spent 13 years with them and 2 years now with Starwood Land Ventures. We formed this as a result of the opportunity that we saw in land, a bit of a contrarian approach. Back in early 06, we formed this venture and saw that the opportunities were going to be there.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Now, before we get into some of those opportunities, so people can know a little bit more about you, what are some of the kind of the bigger projects that you've actually worked on in the last few years?
Some of the bigger deals that we've done, Taylor Woodrow was more well known for its large master plan golf course communities and raw land deals that we converted to big master plan communities. Probably the single largest deal would be a 5,000 unit in Austin, Texas, known as Steiner Ranch. We did the University of Texas Golf Club. I was on the acquisition and development team that executed that project. We built the University of Texas Golf Club there. We did a 2,300 unit deal in Palm Beach Gardens called Mirasol. Average home price about $1.1 million in there. So very high-end deal with 36 holes of golf. And then in Orlando, a high-end Tom Fazio-designed golf course community with about 715 homes. Average price home was probably about $800,000 in that community.
Okay.
So all those communities are still active. Alico Lakes is complete. Mirasol is basically complete, with about probably 50 lots left of the 2,300. And the Steiner Ranch project is probably about halfway through its 5,000 lots.
Okay. So not only because you live here in Florida, you've done projects outside, you've worked for a company that's done projects, around the nation, actually.
I was involved with projects in Texas, Arizona, Canada, Georgia, and Florida while working for Taylor Woodrow.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Very good. Now you work for Starwood Land Ventures, and tell the audience then why was Starwood created? What's kind of their vision, so to speak?
The business model that we had created, my partner and I left Taylor Woodrow at the same time, but we had created the business model under the premise that the large public home builders controlled or owned most of the developable land in the primary MSAs. The large permit count, you know, where most of the single-family homes were being built, most of the land was controlled by the large, well-financed home builders, which many times meant the publicly traded home builders. And we knew that land and the home building was overheated and going to be coming to a screeching halt, and felt very strongly that the markets would frown upon them owning as many land lot positions that they had as they had.
Okay.
So we anticipated that they would be dumping land at some very low prices to get these tax benefits, which they did, and that has all come true. But how it got formed was we basically were looking for private equity that had the right mentality. Many of the financial sources that we sourced were looking for a 3 or 4 year return on their money. Starwood Capital Group, which is a very well-sophisticated and well-financed private equity firm out of Greenwich, had an 8 to 10 year horizon. And we think that's the amount of time you'll need to kind of ride this cycle out. And as we've seen to date, it's taking longer to have the land transactions happen, but they're out there, and we are very confident they will happen. To date, we've spent about $50 million. Our goal would be to spend, you know, 10 times that amount in the next 2 years.
Wow. So that means then you're looking at a lot of opportunities right now.
Quite a few. Again, in our website, Starwood Land, you can kind of see the markets and the primary MSAs that we're focused on are Texas, Florida, Phoenix, California, Las Vegas, Denver, Charlotte, Raleigh, those areas. And, yeah, we've looked at probably in excess of 6,000 or 7,000 deals over the last 2 years in those markets.
Okay. That's a lot of deals to look at.
Well, it's not just me. I have a team. You know, we have a substantial size group of team, and we've partnered with some land development experts in some of those markets. Florida and Phoenix are actually the only two markets that we build lots and develop land for our own behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Those other markets I mentioned, like a Chicago or a D.C. or an Atlanta, we have a development partner on the ground, and we're providing, you know, about 95% of the money.
Mm-hmm.
So we are kind of a finance, development, and investor all kind of wrapped up in one.
Sure.
So we can play any role in the capital stack, if you will, of development.
I understand. Now, you know, there's a lot of investors that are shying away from real estate. So Starwood seems to be very confident that things are going to turn around, and when they do, they feel like that they're going to have the best opportunities. Is that kind of how they see things, so to speak?
Definitely, it's a contrarian approach, but again, the perfect storm has hit, and we believe that the big public builders, the ones that have money, and there's really only a handful of other builders that have the kind of money that these public builders have.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to spend it on land because, quite simply, they don't have to. They can buy it from groups like us that will take the risk and just kind of feed the lots to the builders as they need them. And a just-in-time basis at a price that, you know, gives us some profit, but the builder some opportunity to make profit as well. So, but yes, we believe that's, in spite of you know, the downturn, there's still going to be 350,000, you know, new single-family homes started in 09. That's what, you know, the most recent trend appears to be.
Okay.
That's still a quite a substantial number of, you know, new homes.
Absolutely.
We just hope to own the lots that they're built on.
Sure. And so you're looking at the different cities and states where that some of that projected growth is going to be.
That's correct. We think we've identified, in our markets that we're in, we think we've identified about 65% of the future starts.
Okay. Okay. And so you're already in those markets.
We are.
Okay. Okay. So that means you have a team that has a wide variety of talents and skill sets to be able to do all this analysis.
That's exactly one of our large advantages. We've networked with all of the major builders, all of the major banks in you know, North America. We've literally got connections at the top all the way down to the local level. And our most recent transaction was with D.R. Horton, a $30 million transaction where we bought properties in California, Arizona, and Florida,
mm-hmm.
and had separate teams in each state and closed that in 3 weeks.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And that's one of the advantages you have is not you don't have to go to check in with some sort of funding source. You have that funding source already available to you, and it's just a matter of doing the analysis and seeing if it makes sense and fits your business model then.
That's right.
Okay. Now, you know, what kind of economic indicators are you focusing on that this is a really that you think it's a good time to buy land? Because there's people that are listening today that might be shocked that someone's going out and buying a lot of land. But is there certain key indicators that are just you're focused in on where your company said now it's time to be aggressive and go out into the marketplace?
Again, we don't. I think the land is a very local business. We're a national group with a local mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you look at the macro statistics, there's 350,000 new single-family homes going to be started this year.
Mm-hmm.
That in amongst itself suggests that there's still some life in the balloon or some life in the body, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Those lands, locations, that where those are going to be started, unless you're on the ground and you're really hammering out and talking to every one of the builders in your market and every one of the landowners in your market to know which pieces are the most desirable,
mm-hmm.
you could easily make big, big mistakes.
Sure.
And if you look at land from a macro basis and buy on a macro basis only, which we've seen some very large transactions happen with some of these big builders that have sold to other financial institutions,
mm-hmm.
we believe those have been bad bets. And mainly because they didn't look at them from a micro basis. You've kind of got to get micro in addition to the macroeconomic indicators.
Sure.
That truly, there's not many good news information. And as Warren Buffett says, be greedy when the rest of the world's fearful.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that's the appropriate approach here as well, is the rest of the world is very fearful of land right now. We think that sentiment will turn very, very quickly, especially in the markets that have decent employment, like in Atlanta or a Charlotte or Raleigh, that are very attractive markets to not only employment centers, but also the retirees and pre-retirees. You know, people are retiring to North Carolina now more frequently than not. And Charlotte and Raleigh have been boom markets, and, of course, they're very, very slow right now. And in D.C., obviously, that's a very strong market from our government perspective, injecting capital. We're investing there and would like to invest more if there were more opportunities.
Sure. Now, do you typically not invest in rural areas, say, that are maybe something, a project that might be outside of Asheville that's really just designed more for vacationers and so forth? Are you staying away from those types of projects, or do you
We are mainly because we're not a builder. We're not going to be a vertical builder,
mm-hmm.
and we don't care to finance a vertical builder. And in today's environment, lots have to be absorbed by builders, and the only way for us to absorb them is to buy them in locations that builders with money have. And all of the national financial institutions that have been providing financing to these builders are not providing financing anymore. They're not renewing lines of credit. They're not renewing, you know, these revolving credit syndication that they have for these big groups. And so that all spells a really, really tight credit market for the typical builder in those, I call it rural or second-time home markets, are your private builders that, you know, typically do a semi-custom type product or even a custom type product.
Mm-hmm.
Financing is not available to those builders.
Right.
So unless they have millions of their own money that they're willing to spend, which is extraordinarily uncommon, then you don't have an audience. So we're selling to a non-audience. Now, there are projects that you would buy land that you would theoretically sell lots to the third-party market, the open market, to, you know, people that want that as a future investment. And some of those we will consider, but very rarely.
Okay.
And most of those are like a coastal Carolina or a Virginia, you know, coastal Virginia, you know, on the port, specialty type products that, you know, the land has substantial value simply because it's not being created anymore. You know, if it was just kind of a golf course community up in the mountains, there's plenty of those. We would not probably, you know, invest in something like that.
Sure. And you've looked at over 6,000 projects, and when you say 6,000 projects, then they could be, are a lot of these projects where they've the land has been, the large tract of land has been purchased and then maybe entitled, but they've never broke ground. Is that where a lot of these projects are at?
There's a lot of those, and unfortunately, in today's market, you know, many of the lots we're buying are cheaper than they cost to develop. So raw land has very little value to groups like us right now. We see very little value in most locations. There are certain locations, you know, up Palm Beach County, Florida, where there's a supply constraint of land. You could still afford to pay a decent-sized amount of money for land. But if you look at a a Tampa, for example, raw land is very difficult to make sense because there's, in most locations, there's substantial opportunity to buy other chunks of land. Now, there's some infill sites that, you know, we're searching, but there's very few.
Sure.
Houston is very similar to Tampa in that respect. Lots, we recently bought lots in Tampa for $10,000, and they were completely developed. Their development cost were $25,000.
Okay. And when you say completely developed, since some of the audience may not know what that necessarily means, what would you mean? What would you mean by that?
That means a builder can come in and start putting a house on that lot now. The roads are in, the streets are in, the electricity, the water and sewer. Literally, the builder can come put his house on there, hook it up to a water and sewer meter, and hook up the electricity, and it's a ready to move in house as soon as he builds it. So the lot is what we call pad ready.
Okay.
And that's within, you know, plus or minus 2 inches of the finished floor elevation.
I understand.
The builder simply pours 2 inches of concrete, and he's off to see the wizard.
He's off to see the wizard. And so when you say, now, I like some of the language, the pad ready. So are you saying that the projects you're initially buying are mostly pad ready projects?
Mostly the projects that we're buying have a substantial amount of pad ready lots.
Okay.
And then they would have future lots as well.
Okay.
We're looking for large projects that are, you know, $6 to $10 million in size. And we're not looking for, you know, 100 lot subdivisions, things of that nature. We're looking for large, you know, projects that have kind of run into financial trouble.
Sure.
Typically, they're, you know, 300 to 500 lots or more, you know, of which, you know, 150 could be fully developed and 300 are future lots, something like that.
I understand.
Maybe the golf course is in or the, you know, lakes amenities have been dug or something like that.
Sure. Now, what if a developer comes to you and say that I've got a project where it has 400 lots and I've built 50 homes that I haven't even sold, and I want to wholesale the homes and the lots and do a package together. do you kind of stray away from that because you're just concentrating on the land, or do you entertain the idea of buying
those
houses?
That. Yeah, we do that as well. And
okay.
we also buy loans, and many of our loans include that kind of collateral.
Okay.
Homes, lots, and future land.
Okay.
Many of the loans do that. We recently closed an FDIC loan that was just exactly that. Had eight or ten single-family homes, 250 lots, and another 50 acres of
okay.
raw land. And that
now,
was
if
FDIC
you buy a if you buy a project like that, does that mean you need to hire like someone to be at that particular project to sell the lots and try to move these houses? Is that how you kind of work then from
That's
there?
That's us. We have that already, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we have those teams in place.
Okay. So if you know you're going to X city and you're going to buy those 15 houses and the 100 lots with it, then you, before you buy it, you're already getting ready to put a team in there to kind of to market
that,
it, sell it.
That team found that deal, and they were already our team member.
Okay.
Our group. That
okay.
that was a joint venture deal that we did. We were providing 95% of the money.
Okay.
They were people that we pay. You know, we pay their salaries and wages.
Okay.
There's a team of four or five guys in Southern California, and they they sourced the deal. It was through IndyMac, the bank that was taken over through FDIC.
Okay.
We knew a lot about the project and closed it very quickly.
I see. Okay. Okay. So, well, then give us perspective. How many employees do you have?
Between our joint venture partnerships and our direct partners in Florida and Phoenix, that we all have, our employee partners here in Florida and Phoenix, we're probably in the range of about 40 across the country.
Okay. Okay. And
plus the Starwood Capital folks, I should mention that, the people
okay.
that actually pay the bills and have the money, the Starwood Capital, that's another team of 130
okay.
that we can borrow from at any time. You know, if we have a large deal, we're currently working a very large deal in Florida now, and, you know, we'll have anywhere from 2 to 7 of those guys, you know, working with us as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we have additional resource there in our capital source.
And does your company plan to add people, or you pretty much have the team that you need to have in place?
We pretty much are where we are, unless
okay.
we have a couple of unique large projects come to fruition, which could happen, but generally speaking, we have the staff that we need.
I understand. Well, I mean, you know, basically what you're saying is about 170 people, that's part of the process. That's a lot of people. And I think people lose perspective, you know, the general population loses perspective that land is such a viable entity in real estate, and it can bring in a lot of money, you know, at the same time if you find the right deals. And so now let's talk a little bit about your return on investment 8 to 10 years from now. What kind of projections are you looking at when you put this business model together if you're planning on holding on something for that long?
Our limited partners, which are institutional monies, you know, pension funds, insurance groups, that's who invest in our opportunity funds.
Okay.
Those folks are looking for a very high teens, low 20% return.
Okay.
And that's an aggregate, you know, an annual IRR. And so that generally equates, at the project level, we need a 25% return.
Okay.
So simplify the cash flow, the future cash flow, and solve for a 25% IRR, and that's the kind of deals we'll do.
I understand. But I guess the other perspective is that if you're seeing that there was 350,000 building permits will be pulled this year. Is that the projection?
Home starts. That's
home
the projection
starts.
For single family. Close
okay.
to 500,000 total,
close
single
to
and multi.
500,000. So what it cool. really, but also, so what I'm hearing is that there's an 8 to 10 year window, but also you've bought projects where you're moving your funds now.
That's correct. Yeah, we buy lots. We bought 200 lots in Palm Beach County that the builder's already taking lots now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we bought for X. They're buying for X plus 25%.
Sure.
Taking
sure.
them back.
Sure. And then, in really, in well, everybody wins in that regards. And the builders like to work. You like to work with these large builders because they want to be in the business of building. They don't want to be in the business of owning land.
And that's exactly right. That's the premise of our entire opportunity.
Right. And so since that's really kind of the bottom line, they would really actually love to work with you because then they can come to you and say, you know, Mike, we're ready to put up 3 more houses or 10 more houses or how many, you know, that we can get financing for. And you're saying, you know, bring it on. Let's do it.
That's
you know?
Right.
And so, you know, everybody kind of wins and then they can digest a few at a time and, you know, they can keep some people employed and then they can keep some, you know, the American dream is to have that new house, you know, so there's others that can still feel like they can have that new house feeling at the same time. So, you know, everybody's going to win eventually is what it comes down to. Now, is there any other, we're kind of running out of time, is there any other concluding comments to kind of wrap up some of our thoughts today or that you'd like to interject?
No, I appreciate your time, and again, I invite everyone to check out our website if they'd like at starwoodland.com, and have any questions or comments about what we have, you can feel free to call me as well.
Okay. So if you would like someone to contact you, would it be best to just go ahead and visit starwoodland.com and then just find your name and then send you an email?
That's right.
Okay. Because we do want to respect Mike's time. And so I know that he gets a lot of leads. He loves to hear from people. But keep in mind, if you're going to be in contact with Mike, that they have very specific parameters, and they're looking for properties that are closer to the major city centers than they are necessarily in a lot of the rural destinations. And so it's just part of their business model more than anything else. So, all right, Mike, thanks so much for joining me. We'll go ahead and part ways, and so thanks again for your time.
You bet. Have a good day.
All right. Very nice.
Bye.
Okay, Mike. It was so great to have Mike on the broadcast today. He was just a wealth of information. We had sat down on a number of occasions, or one occasion, and then we talked on the phone a number of occasions, and then I got a little better acquainted with him because I had actually gotten some property leads that I had sent to him, and he helped me to see that a lot of these property leads are that I had forwarded to him on development projects really didn't fit their business model. Like I had a number of property leads that were in rural areas, but they hadn't broke ground yet, or they hadn't put the roads in or anything like that. And Mike's company, StarwoodLand.com, is not real interested in those types of projects because they have enough opportunities with projects that already have the roads cut, they already have the utilities and the water and the sewer and everything, all the hookups ready to go. And what it comes down to is that, you know, developers, they needed to kind of keep ahead of their competition. They took a risk and they bought large parcels of land, and then they spent years getting them rezoned and getting them ready so that a new housing development could develop into fruition. But in 2000 and 2005, 2006, as Mike alluded to, there was that the developers could start to see that there wasn't going to be as many housing starts as that they had hoped for. And so many of them, there's a kind of a tax law out there now today that you can sell your land for a loss, and then there's a specific way that you can write off your business loss in such a way that it becomes a win for that large business builder. And so what Starwood does now is they make lots available to these large builders on a piecemeal basis as needed basis. And so that kind of wins for everybody. And so what I was really fascinated more than anything else with what Mike's company brings to the table is that they are very aggressive with buying land. And I think that that's the bottom line. As I continue to do these interviews and I've continued to do these broadcasts on blogtalkradio.com, that more and more, whether it be smaller investors or whether it be larger entity investors, people are looking to land to buy. And what's interesting, with the stock market plummeting and people becoming nervous about their investment portfolios, it's interesting that two different mechanisms have kind of come to the forefront. A lot of investors are diversifying their portfolio and buying gold, which is a sound investment. But that may have peaked. Gold has really gone up in value. So where it's uncertain whether people are going to continue to see an increase in the price of gold. But land and around the country is still so very, very, very affordable that this is a great time to go and look to buy land. And a great land website that is a kind of a co-sponsor for this particular broadcast is www.landflip.com. And they did a press release recently, and they're a site, by the way, that lists buyers and sellers for land on all shapes and sizes and price ranges and so forth. But their average listing is about $100,000 to $250,000. And so they've had a 500% increase in activity of people inquiring and buying land than they did this time last year, a 500% increase. And this trend will continue, as Mike said, in the next couple years. They're going to be in a buying mode for the next about 2 to 3 years. And you're going to see that there's going to be a significant amount of activity in land. And so what type of land are people buying? They're buying all sorts of land. They're buying land. Baby boomers are buying land because they want to retire on. They're buying the one-acre lot, or sometimes there's many, many stories that I've conveyed in some of the previous broadcasts where people are, individual buyers are buying 100 acres, 200 acres, 300 acres, and what they're doing is that they're buying this for retirement where they're going to live on 25 or 50 acres and then maybe sell off the other couple hundred acres and subdivide it at some point. And so a lot of folks now, baby boomers, are seeing it as a two-pronged approach to land. They're going to retire, so why not buy land now when it's still very affordable? And see, we're at a point where we're getting into kind of a supply-demand. Right now, there is an oversupply of land compared to the amount of buyers that are available. But very soon, maybe in the next 6 months to a year, we're going to see in the United States one of the greatest land rushes in U.S. history. Mark my words on this, that we're going to see that there's going to be more buyers than there are for affordable pieces of land. There will always be a lot of land in the marketplace, but a lot of land is not affordable. And what I specialize in is actually rural land, which is kind of the converse to what Mike Moser's business, Starwood Land Ventures. They like to buy land that is next to very near the city centers. My specialty is rural land, where a lot of the baby boomers are coming to buy. And also why people were also buying rural land, as I've kind of digressed for a moment, is not only baby boomers are buying land, but a lot of professionals, physicians, attorneys, chiropractors, and so forth are also buying land, and they're buying it for like hunting purposes, recreation purposes, and then there's another group of people that are buying land for hobby farms to grow their tomatoes and have a couple of goats on. And as our society has more and more entrepreneurs and more and more stay-at-home businesses, there's more and more people that want to move to rural destinations to live their lives. Because I think that you can appreciate, if you live in a rural area, in fact, maybe you vacation many times to a rural destination that you just seem to return to time and time again. Well, more and more people, they don't want to just go there on vacation. They want to move there and they want to live. And what's really interesting is that Walmart has sensed that trend, and the super Walmarts that are going up, by and large, are going up in rural destination centers now. As I drive, I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, and as you drive west from Jacksonville, about 45 minutes, we're in the heart of rural Florida, and I'll be darned if Walmart just looks like in the middle of nowhere, just right on I-10, all by itself is a super Walmart. But what they've done is they've sensed that more and more people, especially baby boomers, and those that have those small business owners that are working out of their house now, because now in rural destination cities you can get internet connection really easily, phone connection. So there's more and more people moving to rural areas, one, because they want that lifestyle, they want to live in those destinations, and two, it can be very affordable to still live in those areas. And then with Super Walmart being so close to these rural destination areas, people will have to drive, won't have to drive very far for amenities and supplies. So that will continue to increase the value of the land. Now, what I do for a business is I help people to find land at 20 to 30 cents on the dollar. And ironically, if one of the things that Mike's company does, Starwood Land Ventures, is that they also buy at 20 to 30 cents on the dollar. And I teach people how to buy at a really low price. And they can, you can do what I do. I'm a wholesaler. I find pieces at a really low price, and then what I do is I turn those over to buyers, and I sell them significantly below fair market value. And so everybody wins. The landowner wants to move from the particular piece of land. They don't want it anymore. I come in, secure a contract on it for a low price, and then what I do is I quick turn that to a buyer, and I collect an assignment of contract fee. And so it works out marvelously for me. And I've been a part of 600 land deals totaling $9 million. So I've been around a lot of land projects, large and small. And so I can't underemphasize or overemphasize, however you want to say it, the amount of enormous opportunities, whether you're an end user listening today and you want to buy a piece of land for yourself, or you're someone who wants to become a land investor like me. In fact, I invite you to join me in becoming a land investor, because there's not enough land investors to go around to meet the current and upcoming demand for land. And I haven't stated this yet, but also timberland and farmland are becoming hot entities for people to buy as well. So not only people are buying land to live on, but there's income-producing land as well, whether that would be the farmland or timberland, or sometimes there can be some opportunities for some commercial vacant land at the same time. And so I invite you to visit my website, www.vacantlandguide.com, to learn more of the details. There is going to be an enormous rush for people to buy land. It's already starting. We're in the early stages. And with the amount of landowners that I haven't commented this yet, but the average age of a landowner in the United States today, I actually commissioned a study on this at a major university, and they found that the average age of a landowner in the United States is actually 60 years old, and they own that land free and clear. What is happening to someone who's between over 60? Well, they are living on a monthly income, by and large, most of these people. And what has happened to that monthly income? Well, for some, it's significantly diminished because of the stock market, and they had a lot of their investments in the stock market. So many of these landowners are now going, for the first time, going to consider selling that piece of land that they've owned most of their adult lifetime. And many of those are going to be ready to sell at significantly below fair market value. I teach how to go and find those sellers. Then I teach how to connect that to a buyer without ever having to use your own money. So you never have to buy land to make money in land if you want to become a land investor. And those are the types of tips that I offer in my Vacant Land Guide. So once again, I'm Russell Ward, and I'm the author of Vacant Land Guide. I'd love for you to visit my website, www.vacantlandguide.com. Again, I thank Mike for joining the broadcast. It was exciting to have him on the broadcast and what he's doing. I've also, my latest newsletter, when you visit my website, actually profiles his business a little bit more. It's important for us, for those of us in the land community, to learn what they're doing and how that will complement what our businesses are doing in land today. So I also want to, lastly, I want to thank LandThink.com, which is the official sponsor of each month's webcast. I'm very appreciative that Ryan, from the owner of LandThink.com, Ryan Folk, has been so gracious to allow these webcasts to be posted on his website for people to listen to at their convenience. Hopefully, at some point, I'd like to actually do some video interviews that I'll work in conjunction with LandThink.com as well. But it's important for us to see, as land investors, and hear what others are doing. And so download this podcast, put it on your MP3 player, your iPod, listen to it when you can. I think you'll really enjoy what Mike had to say today. So please join me again soon, as I have another. I'll have another interview. If you'd like to be interviewed, you think you have something interesting to offer about land, I'd love to hear from you. Okay, thanks for listening tonight.